today's headlines. The Alabama Department of Public Health says close to 1,600 people are hospitalized with COVID-19 across the state. The total number of confirmed cases is now over 83,000. Health officials say more than 1,500 people have died. Governor Kay Ivey has announced a $50 million grant program to support nonprofit and faith-based organizations that have been financially impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Grants of up to $15,000 are available to organizations that apply. And State Representative Will Dismukes has resigned from his church position. Dismukes resigned from his pastor position at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church in Prattville after intense backlash over a photo of him celebrating an early leader of the KKK. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
Hi, this is Tom Latham with Penny Earn and Concrete Technologies. If you own a business, you know how important it is to get in front of your customers. Radio has proved to be the best medium for us. For many years, the stations at Blue Water Broadcasting have served us well. For success for your business, call the folks at Blue Water today.
Millennials, Gen X, baby boomers, Gen Z, no matter what you call your customers, over 90% of them listen to radio every week. Reach them where they are. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Wind Creek's Alabama casinos are back, and the winning is electric.
When the electric slide plays, it lets me know that there are people that are winning.
I couldn't believe that many jackpots were going off.
A friend of mine won $47,000.
When I hit a jackpot, Ron, that tells me it could be my turn next.
Your turn could be next. Walk-ups are welcome, but for the odds-on way to get in, make a reservation for the casino floor at windcreekcasino.com, on the Wind Creek app, or by calling 866-946-3360.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Ace is the only national retailer that carries Benjamin Moore paint, which means the paint you trust and a huge selection of colors are right in your neighborhood. And this Saturday only, you can pick up a free sample of Benjamin Moore at your local Ace. It's a great way to explore quality colors and find the perfect one for your place. So if you're looking for award-winning service and a new look for your home, look no further than Benjamin Moore paint at Ace. Offer valid August 1st for Ace Rewards members. Limit one at participating stores while supplies last.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ. But it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Skies. just is.
The Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. Newstar 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday, TGIF edition. Stock market is down 258 points, and the temperature outside is a steamy 90 degrees. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello, hello, hello.
How you doing today, big guy?
Feel good. Feeling all right.
Hey, a new show.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I've got a... Okay, Reed must have bumped his head or something.
Oh, no.
I'm worried. Maybe the heat's gotten to him. Not one, but two slabs of St. Louis ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Normally $25. $19.50 today only. The sale ends today.
Oh, my.
$19.50 for two slabs?
That's good eating for that price, too.
Hold on. Can you hear that? Hear all those cars going down 231 heading to Sweet Creek Bar Market? They've got butter beans, they've got fresh peas, they've got tomatoes, got watermelons, local squash, okra, local honey,
Ooh, help with those allergies.
I know. Man, jump on that, big boy. I'm telling you, I'd be out $19 and be, I'm telling you, Reed's going insane.
And the ribs there, you pick it up by the bone, it'll fall off that bone right there.
You know, we got a gift card that a audience member gave us.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, guess what? The Corona Fairy showed up last night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wait, which Corona?
The regular.
Oh, extra, the beer.
The extra, not the light, the extra. Corona Fairy showed up with 24 of them.
Oh.
Okay, so I go to Costco. They don't have any. I've been to Costco 7 times. They don't have any. I go down to Renfro's. They've got some, but it's 12 for $16.50. Again.
Hold on. You'll feel a slight shock in your buttocks.
So then I wander over to my favorite pedestrian place in the world, Walmart.
Okay.
Every bad driver yesterday was at the Walmart parking lot trying to find a parking place. I saw a car hit another car and just kept going. I mean, didn't stop, no note, just bam, and kept going. I was sitting there. I was going to wait for a little bit. Yeah, maybe this, you know, somebody would come out screaming or something. I go, I'll follow him for you. Go get him. So I go in there, and they've got the 24 case, full case, for $27.85, which is what it cost at Costco. So, to heck with you, Costco. I'm through with you. I'm not doing that. I'm not wasting my time with you anymore. I'm not going out there and walking all the way to the back of Costco. That's like, I mean, it's like I get my exercise in just by going to the back of Costco. And then we had something else. I got to find this lady's name. Got to find her name. Benji got out last night.
Oh.
So I'm out there. I'm going, Benji. Hey, boy, come here, Benji. Oh. I didn't have his vibrating collar on because he just came back from NVA getting cleaned and shining and styling. He was looking good. So I didn't put the collar back on. By the way, I got to brag on NVA. All of a sudden, he came back, and I saw a few fleas. I called and said, can I give him some more flea medicine, or what should I do? And they said, yeah, and talk to Charles McLemore, who listens to the show every single day. Dr. Charles McLemore, known him, he and his family, forever. Great guy. But he said, yeah, go put it on, and there's another medicine we can give you that if that doesn't work, or we can start it next time. So I thought that was pretty good. Okay, so let me see here. Tracy Williford. So Benji is escaped. Dun, 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 ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Where does he get these burglar tools? I mean, the little thing was laid out and all the little stuff.
Wow.
I know, he forgot it. He left it right by the door that he got out of. So I'm out looking. I put in my next door McGee and Allendale place, McGee Estates and Allendale place, app. And so you put a thing up there. I put pictures, and I said, my thing read, escapee, Benji the Wonder Dog.
Yeah.
71 pounds, full of joy and lovable, white golden doodle. Call me, gave me my telephone number. So Tracy Williford sends me back a message and said, I think we got your dog.
Oh, nice.
So I call her and say, where are you? She's over on Midland, which means that Benji either had to hitch a ride or go across Woodley Road, which, give Daddy a heart attack.
Yeah.
So I'm over there, and I'm talking to her on the phone. I'm driving her, and she can see me, and Benji's running around. They finally, she and her kids get a leash on Benji. You have never seen a dog as dirty as Benji. I'm not sure where Benji went, and I'm not sure if I want to know, because he did have a big smile on his face. He is not neutered, by the way. He was dirty top to bottom. And Tracy, the nicest lady, she has a golden doodle also.
Oh.
Hank, who goes, well, all of a sudden lightning or something will happen, head over to Jasmine Lane, which is like a mile and a half away, again, having to cross Woodley Road. That would be it. Dogs need to have a lesson. Do not go across Woodley Road.
Right.
Too dangerous. So I get him back in there, get him on the thing, thank them, and they're out. Social distancing in a social setting out there, but Tracy was so nice to do that. And she said, you know, she looked down and there was Benji. Goes, where'd you come from? And so then they looked at the app and saw my pictures of him. Oh, so Tracy, sweet. Thank you so much. If you guys know Tracy Williford, and tell her thank you from me that you heard me bragging about her and praising her. I love neighbors like that. I mean, she's not a next door type neighbor. She's a distant neighbor, right. But what a nice lady. What a nice lady. And with her little golden doodle that she's got. So that was good. We got that all taken care of. $19.50 for two slabs of ribs?
That's a hell of a deal.
I'm telling you, maybe I should call Karen and say, is Reed okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I know what it is. He's been serving the public too much in his legislative duties.
Ah,
so that'll make anybody addle-minded.
So he's going. You think he's going a little nutsy? Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll get him to call in because I'm worried about him.
Don't correct it. I want that deal.
Yeah, I want that deal too.
I'm
heading down there today. I'm heading there today. So I'm munching those ribs tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Got my procedure on Monday. Well, Janet, I talked to Dr. Paul Moore's nurse today. She said, well, we don't do the stents on the same day we do the catheter. We just see the catheter and see what he thinks about it. And then if you need stents, you'll come back. So that means twice.
Ugh.
I know. Try to make it a better day than on a Monday. We're going to be doing a replay on Monday. It'll be yesterday's show with Tammy and John Williams calling in. And
it's a good show.
Peggy bragging on Morgan Corporation's out. Okay, so let's do this. Idle chatter. Let's get down to some business here. Let's go to a break. Coming back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hey, Central Alabama, this is Bruce Holding, and thank you for choosing CTE Outdoor Power and making Hustler one of the most popular zero-turn riding mowers. When I ask why CTE and why Hustler, you tell me it's because friends recommend both. You like our team of friendly professionals who help you select the Hustler that's the best fit for you, and that we take the hassle out of repairs and parts you might need in the future. You like the commercial-grade construction that goes into every Hustler, from the smallest 34-inch homeowner model all the way up to the ginormous 104-inch industrial model. Now, if some of you haven't discovered CTE and Hustler yet, now is the perfect time, because during the month of July, all Hustler Fast Track models are an additional $500 off. And get this, we're also offering 0% financing for up to 48 months. Now, who else does all that? Hustler Mowers and CTE Outdoor Power. I-85 at Perry Hill Road and CTEOutdoorPower.com.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Don't ignore things like flickering lights, leaky pipes, or a hot house. Your home is saying, fix me. Dixie is the solution. Visit calldixie.com today.
Call Dixie and it's done.
License number 15033.
Do you have a Class A CDL license and at least 6 months driving experience with a good record? Jimmy and Darius Transport specializes in Hotshot. Their trailers are 3 to 5 car haulers, and they have immediate openings for qualified drivers. Earn $1,500 per week, 50% of your health insurance paid, paid vacations that grow to 3 weeks after 3 years, quota bonuses, and much more. Jimmy and Darius Transport is also looking for dispatchers. Call Jimmy and Darius Transport at 241-6414. That's 241-6414. Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228. Today's the day we do the weekly farm market gift basket drawing. I tell you what, I would get in on that drawing and I would win if I were you, because they get $19.50 for two slabs of ribs today only, today only. That's Friday, in case this is the replay for tomorrow. That's Friday, today only. Two slabs for $19.50. I'm going to be all over that. That'll carry me through. Well, but I don't have a refrigerator. He's going to have to just eat them.
Aww.
Aww. Somebody had to do it. Let's, okay, we'll go to Jeff, and then we'll get into this Michael Flynn situation. Hey, Jeff, welcome over to the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Doing great, my friend, and you?
I'm doing good. Hey, I was watching a video this morning. I was getting ready for work, and I was watching the whole movie. But when I started watching, I realized how much it mirrors what's going on right now.
Really? Like what?
And you
would
never guess what the name is. Zombie Diaries.
Zombie Diary?
The Zombie Diaries.
I've never heard of that.
You need to pull that one up and look at it. when they start talking about is showing a bunch of people wearing masks and they're showing is saying they don't know when they're going to come up with a vaccine. I mean, it's almost like identical.
Was it Zombie Diary 1 or Zombie Diary 2 or Zombie Diary 3?
It's the first one, I think. That's the first one. That's the very first one.
You know, it has to be good when you have two sequels to the original movie.
Sure.
Yeah. I hadn't seen the other two yet. But, it's the very first one because it just went the thing. But they're talking about the pandemic and they don't know when it's going to hit the United States and all this. And I'm like,
now, I'm looking at Zombie Diary the game. Sorry about that.
Oh, there's a game?
There's a game.
I didn't know that. I didn't know I got the movie. It was getting weird, and I'm like, it's just
I get worried about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But, yeah, you got to take a look at it.
I'm trying to look at it now.
Oh, okay.
There are two movies.
I just thought I'd bring it up
because
I thought it was awful coincidental.
I'm on it. I'm going to watch the trailer during the break.
Hey, can you put me in for Sweet Creek and the Mars Capuano?
No. You get negative points for that.
Morgan Corporation of South.
Very good. John Williams. But you got a negative point for that, so you don't have a half of a chance. Okay.
Too many commercials in my brain.
Give me your month and day of birth.
5/1.
Are you going to take advantage of that two slabs of ribs for $19.50?
I might just do that.
Man, I tell you, that is a bargain. Okay.
Yep. If I win, I might do that.
Well, you ought to go down and do business with him anyhow.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Let's do the Michael Flynn Fox Report from DOJ. Michael Flynn Fox Report. Michael Flynn. But there we go.
There's a new development tonight in the legal saga of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. The headline here, it's not over yet. Correspondent Doug McElwee joins us live with details on this.
Brad, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's legal fate remains in limbo while his legal bills continue to mount. Today, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals announced the full court will hear the case of the Department of Justice's decision to drop charges against President Trump's former national security advisor. A three-judge panel of the D.C. Circuit had earlier upheld the DOJ's decision to dismiss Flynn's case. The original trial judge, Emmett Sullivan, appeared vehemently opposed to Attorney General Barr's decision to drop the charges. His argument was that in dismissing them, Barr interfered in what was the court's territory. That if Flynn didn't like the court's decision, he could simply file an appeal. Taking on a polar opposite view, Attorney General Barr believed that Judge Emmett Sullivan was intruding into the Department of Justice's territory. Here he is.
The argument is that it's always been understood that decisions whether to pursue an individual through the prosecution process or holding them criminally accountable is vested in the executive branch and not the courts. And he is essentially, in our view, trying to set himself up as an alternative prosecutor.
So now a panel of 10 of the 11 judges who make up the D.C. Circuit Court, will hear arguments on August 11th. One of those 11, Gregory Katsas, a Trump appointee, has recused himself. So that leaves 7 judges appointed by Democratic presidents, 3 appointed by Republicans, to decide Flynn's fate. And if there were to be a 5-5 decision, a split, a tie, then this order would be remanded back to the 3-judge panel that decided to clear Flynn of the charges. Again, the court has set up arguments for August 11th at 9:30 a.m. sharp.
Okay, 11 judge, 1 a Trump appointee, recuses himself. Do we remember somebody else that recused himself? Jeff Sessions?
Oh, yeah.
So that makes it 7-3. If it's 5-5, it goes back to the 3-court panel, 3-judge panel. We know you got 2 yeses in there. But do you get 3 more out of the deal? This is kind of troublesome.
Dirty pool right now.
It really is. But better August the 11th than later on in August. which is where I was thinking, but they can sit on it for a little bit. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of play this thing. Let me go to Andrew McCarthy, cut three on the Michael Flynn rehearing.
I want to touch on the Michael Flynn case with you because, you know, we have Judge Emmett Sullivan who says, I don't want to just follow the DOJ's recommendation. I'm getting it involved. I'm bringing outside parties. The next level up, the D.C. Circuit, the three-judge panel told him, like, no, you got to dismiss the case. You got to let it go. Now the full court has decided, in this case, it'll be 10 judges, 7 Democratic nominee or appointees, and 3 Republican appointees are going to rehear this whole decision. What do you make of it? It's August 11th. It's coming up quick.
I don't think it's as simple, Shannon, is just how the court skews as far as Republican and Democrat appointees. I usually do think that's very relevant. I'm not sure that clinches it here. The court's order is interesting. It says, you know, what they basically want to hear from the parties is there no other way other than issuing an order of mandamus where the court basically...
Yeah, just a little of what they says. No other adequate means to attain the relief.
I'm not sure they're saying that the panel's reasoning was wrong or that, you know, to the extent that they say the only course for the judge here is to dismiss the case under the rule, that that's wrong. I think they don't want to say, Judge Sullivan, you're acting lawlessly. I think what they're basically saying is, isn't there another way we can basically say, here, Judge Sullivan, take the case back, but this is the way it's supposed to come out, rather than, you know, that they're basically telling him it's, you know, perfectly fine if he wants to put the Justice Department on trial, because I don't think the Court of Appeals thinks that. And the main precedent in this case was written by the chief judge of this court, and I don't think they want to walk away from that case.
We will find out. Let me tell you what, if it shows up like a 6-4 vote and you have 85% of the Democrats that were the judges appointed by Democrats, that to me would mean political.
Yeah.
Let me go to a break. We have more on this subject right after this.
I'm just trying to find me a big smile that I can get into.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hello, Montgomery. Do you have more people and more devices using the internet at your home? Switch to Wow Superfast Internet 100 for $39.99 per month. And for a stronger signal, add whole home Wi-Fi for $9.99 per month. Offer details at wowway.com.
Wow.
At Capital City Body Works, they're not satisfied until you're satisfied. If it's auto body repair, glass, or upholstery, they do it right. They work with all insurance companies and have a lifetime warranty on repairs. Call Capital City Body Works at 271-AUTO.
Hi, folks. This is Bill with Circle C Trailers. Just wanted to let you know, since we've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting, our business has grown tremendously. I recommend advertising on Blue Water.
Radio advertising is the engine that drives business. Call Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by JB Windows and Siding, powered by Jones Brothers Roofing.
Quality, beauty, value, and more. JB Windows and Siding has what you're looking for.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. A relatively routine forecast as July ends and August begins. Today, a high temperature up to about 93, heat index 100 or higher. Spotty afternoon and evening storms. Many towns will get skipped. Overnight low 73. Tomorrow and Sunday, high in the low 90s with only widely scattered storms each day. They will be few and far between. Meanwhile, we continue to monitor the future progress of Hurricane Isaias as it approaches the southeastern coast. Our weather app will keep you on top of the action. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Are you strapped for cash but need a car right now? No problem. Get an auto loan from ASE and make no payment for 90 days. Schedule an appointment or apply online. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Two-seven-two-nine-two-two-eight. That's where we are on Friday, TGIF edition. Guys, I really want you to take advantage of Mortgage Corporation of the South and what they have to offer for you. John Williams is a great guy. He's helping me out. He's helped now four clients of mine have referred to him, and is helping them out. He's helped audience members and buying mortgage their mortgages from them that they're carrying, help them refinance. You heard Peggy yesterday and sent me a picture of Peggy at when they did their closing. So he is really making things happen for people, and that's my kind of guy. Let him make things happen for you. Saving money on interest, having problems with credit, he can help you with that also. Looking to refinance or buy a new place. A lot of people are buying houses now. I have several clients that are in the middle of buying a house or just look at moving. So take advantage of it. 567-9000, 567-9000. Mortgage Corporation of the South. Let's go to Sidney Powell. This is Michael Flynn's attorney talking to Sean about the hearing.
Also developing tonight, another bizarre twist, unfair twist in the Michael Flynn case, as the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals now says the order instructing Judge Emmett Sullivan to dismiss the case will get a rehearing by all 11 judges on the court. Remember, just last month, a three-judge panel ruled in favor of Flynn and the DOJ, which wants both sides want to drop the prosecution. Now the rehearing is scheduled for Tuesday, August 11th. And more injustice for General Flynn. Here to explain is General Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, with an update. Sidney, it's unbelievable. Never ends.
It is unbelievable, Sean, and it's a sad day for the rule of law. Judge Sullivan's petition for rehearing should not have even been considered by the court because he had no standing to file it. He's not a party in the case. He's supposed to be a neutral umpire, and yet he has taken on the role of an advocate for some sort of hearing that he wants to conduct back in his court on an issue that the government has decided to dismiss, a case it's decided to drop, where there's no longer a case in controversy at all because both parties have agreed to dismiss it, and he cannot act as a prosecutor because only the Department of Justice can under Article 2 of the Constitution. So there are two constitutional provisions that preclude him from doing what he's trying to do, and the court seems to be indicating that it's going to give him that opportunity, despite the fact he has no constitutional authority to proceed.
This really is disturbing, and I think it reflects on the fact that Michael Flynn has a lot to say, and he can put together the broken pieces of this puzzle, and that's a good thing. So let's listen to Jim Jordan talking about Michael Flynn and what's at stake here.
They had informants trying to lure Trump campaign officials to get them into meetings. They had a media leak strategy, apparently, all the while knowing that there was no collusion. I mean, this is just extraordinary, Congressman.
More than 70 witnesses appeared before the House Intelligence Committee. All of them were asked the same question. What evidence do you have of Russian collusion with Donald Trump or the Trump campaign? What evidence do you have of conspiracy? What evidence do you have of coordination? And they batted 1,000 in their response. These are folks like Susan Rice and Samantha Power, senior DOJ and department officials and intelligence and law enforcement officials. And they all said, we don't have any.
The public knew this a long time ago. That was September of 2018, Congressman. Your colleague, John Ratcliffe, now the DNI. So what's the story here? They knew in January of 2017, no collusion. How did they keep re-upping the warrants against Carter Page?
Yeah, they lied to the FISA court. We know that. Mr. Horowitz told us they lied 17 times, so that's how they did it. You go lie to a court, you can keep re-upping the warrants. But John was exactly right. Thank goodness Rick Grenell released those transcripts where we saw specifically where Rice and Clapper and Rhodes and Yates and all of them said the same thing. There was never anything there. There was no predicate to launch this investigation, which they did. And they did it for, they put the country for 2 years of it when they got Mueller named special counsel. So this was as wrong as wrong could be. And look to January of 2017. What they did to Flynn, they have the now famous January 4th when the agents want to drop the case and Comey says, no,
that's right,
we're going to go after Flynn. January 5th, the meeting in the Oval Office, Obama, Biden, Comey, they're all there talking about how they're going to get Flynn. January 6th, they go up to Trump Tower, brief the president-elect on the dossier that they already know is false.
That's right.
And then on January 24th, they go set up Michael Flynn. And in between the 6th and the 24th, that's when they're leaking everything to the press to help set up Michael Flynn as well. This was a coordinated effort to go after Flynn because they knew Flynn would expose what they did. And that's how that's what ticks me off more than anything else. They went after a three-star general because he was going to tell the world. He would figure it out as the national security advisor for President Trump and as the former head of defense intelligence. He would figure it out. That's why it was so darn wrong.
And that's it. I mean, one of the big pieces of the puzzle that's going to get this, and I didn't think they were going to get this far down the line to get it to the White House, but I believe that Michael Flynn has some things to say in talking about the White House and the involvement with this thing and comparing notes that we're going to get from Durham and Grinnell and things like that and Ratcliffe. This is going to put everything together. Now, it's not absolutely necessary to have Michael Flynn. It just makes it that much more compelling. Continue on.
He wanted to audit the Office of Net Assessments, and sure, they didn't want him to find out that because the Office of Net Assessments apparently was the office that were paying the informants to go drop stuff in Papadopoulos and Carter Page's lap so that they get entrapped. How far up the line do you think this goes? Do you think this goes all the way up to President Obama to take out Donald Trump, to spy on Trump?
Well, two things. One, the January 5th, 2017 Oval Office meeting, Obama and Biden are in that meeting. So it has to go all the way to the top. They're in there talking about the very next day is when Comey goes up and talks to the president about the dossier that he already knew was false. So this was all coordinating that last few days of the Obama-Biden administration. So the other thing I would point out is this is also why they're going after Bill Barr, why they filed articles of impeachment against the attorney general 3 weeks ago, because they don't want him digging it. They're trying to destroy him because he's actually got the courage to get to the bottom of this and put people on this investigation. Mr. Bash is looking at the whole spying and the whole FISA and all the other and the unmasking issues. You have Mr. Durham who's doing his investigation. That's why they're going after the Attorney General.
Okay. Now, when we get into the eulogy political speech that Obama did in just a little bit, or maybe it'll be the final segment of this hour, but he's getting nervous, in my opinion. And what he's trying to do, anything he can do to get Biden elected, gets him off the hook, they believe. Now, in watching Durham and listening to Durham and then looking at his body language, I think that Barr just may say, to hell with this thing. This thing is so big, to hell with the concept of a foreign election. This is that big. And he just has got that kind of tone. The way he answered that question, 2 days ago, will you promise that you will not release? And he goes, no.
No.
And he kind of, are you talking about doing a report or are you just talking about anything or what? And he said, no, well, I'm not going to make that kind of promise. Now, they wanted it done that day. And he may have in his mind the end of August, but They're getting close. And Obama knows it. Obama knows the only way it's going to save his butt is to get Biden elected. The other thing is Trump is sitting there looking at mail-in ballots and voter fraud and things like that. Now, if you're a former CIA operative, several of them, you're a former counterintelligence person, and to save your butt, you need Biden to win. Would you manipulate an election if what you did was spy on the president before?
If you think you can get away with it, yes.
I think they're going to, I think they will go to any length to do this. I just, they're so nervous. They are so damn nervous. And I can just tell how Obama's acting, and I'm just going to go, yeah, he knows what's coming down. That's why we see Susan Weiss as the person.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to tell me everything I need to know. Last segment of Jim Jordan.
I asked Valerie Jarrett this exact question. She joined me this week. She was the number one aide to President Obama. Take a look at how she answered, Congressman. Listen to this. Did President Obama direct any of this?
That's not how it works. That's not how our investigations work. That we leave that to the intelligence community to bring forward information. And the dossier, I would imagine, would be one piece of a much bigger puzzle. And so if you're saying, is it important to make sure that there isn't influence? And actually, the Mueller report didn't conclude that there wasn't any wrongdoing. In fact, he was explicit in saying quite the opposite. And so I don't think we should read in where there hasn't been actually any conclusions to that effect yet. You're making statements that actually haven't been proven.
Just to be clear.
I mean, Maria, if it doesn't go to Obama Biden, why is Joe Biden in the Oval Office talking about using the Logan Act? We now know from the notes, why is he talking about using the Logan Act to go after General Flynn? So that to me seems pretty telling, these notes. Why is Bill Priestap, the head of counterintelligence at the FBI, writing a note the very day they go interview Michael Flynn and set him up? Why is he writing a note? What is our goal? To get him to lie, to get him fired so we can process? Why do we have this kind of evidence from these key people? So Ms. Jarrett can say what she wants, but the evidence seems to point in the other direction.
And I noticed that when she answered the question that she didn't answer the question. And it was a big dodge. It's kind of like what they would say during Watergate, a non-denial denial. And she didn't answer the question. No, he didn't do it. No, he didn't do it. It just, that's not the way things work.
That's not how the process works.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's they do it. We don't do it. They do it. Then how'd you know about it? These guys are so dishonest. It is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Okay, so I went back and listened to this eulogy, and I was just stunned. And so let's do the CBS portion of it first, and that's the story of John Lewis' funeral. And what we're going to do is we're going to set up the funeral. This is CBS and the way they're handling it. Now, notice what's kind of missing out of these stories here, but listen in.
As John Lewis was laid to rest in Atlanta yesterday, he was described as a hero, a legend, a gentle, humble giant, and a loving, caring friend. There just were not enough accolades to describe this man. His funeral was held at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where he worshiped many, many times. Those honoring him called on Americans to continue on his path toward his righteousness and equality. CBS This Morning Saturday co-host Michelle Miller is in Atlanta. Michelle, you did a great job yesterday, you and Nora. I loved watching our coverage. It was a really, really powerful ceremony yesterday. I can't imagine what it was like to be there.
It was thrilling at every turn to see history in the making, and certainly we know that his legacy will live on as a man whose fight for equal rights was seen across the world.
He loved America until America learned how to love him back.
Forward, march!
It was a ceremony fit for an American hero. Civil rights leader John Lewis was remembered for his unstoppable fight for equality, his everlasting humility, and his love for all. Hundreds gathered outside the Ebenezer Baptist Church to watch the service. Inside, 12-year-old Tybree Faw gave a touching tribute.
This was great.
John Lewis was my hero, my friend. Let's honor him by getting in good trouble.
He, that little kid, that 12-year-old, did a great job. He held it together while he was reading, and he is kind of partially reading, memorized what he was saying. Then when he came off the podium, he lost it. And the audience gave him a standing ovation. I mean, it was very powerful. And if they wouldn't have gotten into all the political stuff, it would have been beautiful. The singing was just incredible. There was one lady, she had some pipes on her. So let me stay with CBS. And they're going to get into the three former presidents were there. Listen in.
And three former presidents shared how he shaped the nation.
John and I had our disagreements, of course.
but in the America John Lewis fought for and the America I believe in, differences of opinion are inevitable elements and evidence of democracy in action.
I just love them. I always will. And I'm so grateful that he stayed true to form. I suggest, since he's close enough to God to keep his eye on the sparrow and us, we salute, suit up, and march on.
In his eulogy, the nation's first black president, Barack Obama, called Lewis a man of pure joy and unbreakable perseverance.
John Lewis did not hesitate, and he kept on getting on board buses and sitting at lunch counters, got his mugshot taken again and again. America was built by John Lewis's. He, as much as anyone in our history, brought this country a little bit closer to our highest ideals.
The former president told a story about speaking with Congressman Lewis after he joined the Senate. He said he walked over to him and said, "John, I'm here because of you."
When we do form a more perfect union, whether it's years from now or decades or even if it takes another two centuries, John Lewis will be a founding father of that fuller, fairer, better America.
Now, if he would have just stopped there, it would have been fine. But he didn't just stop there. Now, we're going to get into his part of the speech in a little bit. I'm going to go to a quick break. Dan Moore Show, back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACB.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hello, sports fans. Chris Cleats here, stepping out from behind the sports microphone and standing here today in front of the office of asset preservationist David Artist. I've been talking with a few people here, and sir, you told me this is your first time visiting David Artist. Why did you wait so long?
I got hairy legs.
I see. Well, ma'am, I understand you made a long trip to get here. How are you feeling?
I don't feel no ways tired.
Well, how about you, ma'am? Do you have time to talk with me today?
I'm gonna get me a beer.
Well, okay. Ma'am, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Don't mess with me.
Right. Well, they probably came to see David Artist because they know he has nearly 40 years of experience as an asset preservationist. He's going to take care of your money like it was his very own. Call him today at 279-7431. That's 279-7431. Sir, would you like the final word in this interview?
I'm going to be Joe Biden.
Call David Artist today and somebody get me out of here.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
You know, like I said, if they would have just stopped there, if he would have not gone into other places, it would have been a great speech. But he didn't stop there, and I'm going to play a segment after the final part of the CBS story on the John Lewis funeral. But, well, let's do that, and then we'll get into the Obama political eulogy.
And as soldiers escorted that flag-draped casket outside of the church, John Lewis's favorite song, Happy by Pharrell, blared through the congregation. There were more than a few people dancing in their pews. He was then driven through the streets of Atlanta past the city council, city hall here, where he served for 5 years, and on to Southview Cemetery, where he was buried next to his beloved wife of 40 years, Lillian. It was an incredible service, Gail. I can't imagine anything more touching. It's certainly a history lesson for us all.
No, Michelle, he was such a treasure, and I think we can't help but smile when we think about yesterday, because it was, as sad as it was also a celebration of his life. And one of my favorite moments was B.B. and Carvin Winans, who wrote the song and then performed the song at the service. I thought that that was a very, very special thing. There were so many special moments yesterday.
There were, and a call for all of us to act, act as citizens. And it was something I think he smiling down on. Man of action.
He has passed the baton to all of us. Now let's see what we do with it. There's still a lot of work to be done. Thank you, Michelle.
You know, and as I said, when I looked at the Troy event, I thought the Troy event was spectacular, great talent there, the very heartfelt, nothing political. I learned a lot about John Lewis. It made me want to read some things about some of his writings. He really was this passive, non-aggressive, but very determined individual from being back when he was in his teens. And had a great life. I thought the Selma piece was good. I thought what Terry Sewell said was great. Doug Jones, not so much. Doug Jones just doesn't get it. He just didn't get it. You could tell he was saying a speech by observing something from afar versus really believing in it. And then I thought the Capitol thing was good. Not many people understand from folks that were there went by and did that, which is really a shame. I would have thought a lot more people would have done that. But then they got to Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, and Martin Luther King's daughter, Beatrice King, who's a pastor, she got up there and she just ran it. And I was kind of surprised at that. But then you had George W. Bush, and then you had Bill Clinton, and then they kind of saved Obama for the closing deal. He was the closer of it. This is not only a speech. The speech is like 28 minutes long. But this is the part that was the political part. Listen to this.
He knew that the march is not over, that the race is not yet won, that we have not yet reached that blessed destination, where we are judged by the content of our character. He knew from his own life that progress is fragile, that we have to be vigilant against the darker currents of this country's history, of our own history, with their whirlpools of violence and hatred and despair that can always rise again. Bull Connor may be gone.
There we go.
But today, we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks of Black Americans. George Wallace may be gone. But we can witness our federal government sending agents to use tear gas and batons against peaceful demonstrators.
Peaceful.
We may no longer have to guess the number of jelly beans in a jar in order to cast a ballot. But even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision, even undermining the postal
is amazing. So these people that have to depend on mail-in ballots, they don't ever go to Walmart. They don't ever go to the drugstore. They don't ever go into any place in public where other people are. This is such a felonious argument that's there. But that Bull Connor stuff and George Wallace and peaceful protesters, tear gassing peaceful and nightstick peaceful protesters, where did he see that one?
Yeah, right.
It just, that was so unnecessary, and it tells me how absolute desperate he is. And I think we're going to have a real shocker here. I think that the African-American vote is going to shock some people about the percentage that Donald Trump gets out of this.
Well, and did the mantle that John Lewis was a part of with MLK and so many others, did they ever burn churches, police precincts, federal courthouses?
No, of course not. They were peaceful. Passive, very passive.
It's one thing that really bothers me about the former president. As a young man, it was the first election when he was first elected in 08.
By the way, never had any family member that was even involved in any of this stuff.
And as a young man, it was the first election I paid attention to. I was 18. It was the first one I could vote in. And I really did have hope that, okay, this is a guy who maybe brings us together. And for all his eloquence and his command of being able to really tell the history of the nation, he would then do stuff like that.
Well, that's as divisive as you get.
Right.
I mean, he's talking about other people being divisive. That was really divisive.
Right.
And it was a mischaracterization of history. Damn our show going to a break. Coming back after our top of the hour break.
Show.